see. Unbelievable. Unprecedented in Klal Yisrael, literally. Okay. Oh, so we're holding on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. I'll try to keep the screen straight. We're holding on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara was discussing a person who goes outside and he is carrying something. Now, it's talking about where he was a Zav, so he is involuntarily emitting some fluids from himself. Either sometimes they say it's gonorrhea, so it's some sort of bodily fluid that is being emitted. And so we saw on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, there was a Gemara that said that if the reason why, so what they used to do is they used to tie some sort of, you know, bag around their member in order so that it doesn't, there was a couple reasons. One of them was they needed to count Shiva Nikiyam, or they needed to make sure that it was the third day. So in these cases, if you carry the plastic bag, so then you want the plastic bag there and you're going to be chayev for carrying. However, if for whatever reason you're not counting Shiva Nikiyam, you already saw on that day, so it's not going to be a Shiva Nikiyam or whatever, so then the carrying of the bag is merely in order to prevent your clothes from getting dirty. The Gemara says that to prevent clothes from getting dirty, that is not considered a reason enough to carry things, and therefore if somebody carries something for that reason, he is not considered carrying in the D'oraisa sense. And the Gemara sources this, a proof from this, is that the halacha is that sometimes things can only contract tumma if they have gotten wet at one point in their lives. If the reason, so now it's raining outside, a guy has a bowl that needs washing, so if you take it outside to get washed, then that's called getting wet. You want it to get wet. But if the reason why you're taking it outside and putting it on the putting it outside in the rain is to prevent your porch or whatever, your wall, from getting damaged, that's not considered enough of a reason for it to get wet. That's where we left off yesterday. And top line, the Gemara doesn't like this. The Gemara says, "Me dummy, is it comparable? Hasam loika ba'iluhu lahani mashkin klal." Over there, we don't feel the requirement. In the case of the water, in the case of the rain, you'd prefer if there was no rain at all. You prefer the whole thing, you don't want anything, you don't want rain at all. Over here, it's true you don't want it's true that you don't want the ziva, but that's not what we want over here. There, you want the water. And the truth is, you're saying, I'm not going to have the water. Right? You have water, and you'd prefer not to have the water. We're holding your basil at Aleph top line. You'd prefer not to have the water. And therefore, the thing in question, which is the water, you'd prefer not to have. Over here, what don't you want? You don't want the ziva. But now that you have the ziva, you want the kiss. You want that bag that could be there in order to prevent it from damaging you. So the Gemara says, "Midami hasam loika boiluhu lahani mashkin klal." You don't want the water, and that's the thing in question. Hacha kaboiluhu lahai kiss lekebuli beziva. Over here, you do want this bag that could be used to be mekabel the zivas. True, you don't want the zivas, but that's not the question right now. The question is the bag. So therefore, the Gemara says there's no comparison. Haloidamia, this is only comparable to the seifa, the seifa, where you have an areva as a bowl, sheyora delaf l'toicha, where a drip, so there's a drip that's going into it. Since you keep it upside, right side up, and it's dripping into the bowl, that shows us that there is some sort of desire in the water, and therefore it is considered areva sheyora delaf l'toicha, mayim hanitazin v'hanitzapin, the water that is spilling out of it, that it splashes out of it, or it's floating on top of it, that's eina b'chiyutan. Those waters you don't want. But v'shebeteicha, any water that's in the bowl, hareza b'chiyutan, that is considered b'chiyutan. Ella says, meaning, it is considered a situation, b'chiyutan, again, we explained yesterday, was that everything in order to become tameh has to get wet. So the way we explain that is by saying b'chiyutan is... the way we explain that is by saying that if it's the way we explain that is by saying that if it's kiyutan, meaning it is it is considered water that you wanted. Ella abaye v'rava da'amri tarvayo loy kasha ha'rabi Yehuda v'ha'rabi Shimon. So the Gemara says that Abaye and Rava, by the way, if anybody feels the, you know, wants to say anything, there's probably some way to, you know, you could probably talk up, but Abaye and Rava, they say that, so the Gemara says there's no question. Ha Rabbi Yehuda veha Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that there is, these two brises that we brought before on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis are not a stira. The brisa that says that you're chayiv for carrying out that bag around the member is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who says that a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayiv. Meaning, there is, and we're going to see this many times throughout Masechta Shabbos, that there is a halacha that says that on Shabbos, or there's a machlekas about it, on Shabbos, there is a concept called that the melacha that you do has to be done for the same reason that it was done in the Mishkan. So for example, why do I carry something out? Because I want it out there. What happens if the reason I'm carrying it out is because I don't want it here? What would the din be then? Like I'm carrying out a dead body. I'm carrying out a dead body. I don't want it here. It's not pshat that I want it over there. The halacha is, Rabbi Yehuda holds your chayev, but Rabbi Shimon says your pater, because it's a melacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It is a melacha that is not done for the right purposes. So to over here, the reason everybody's masking that you're carrying out a plastic bag. The question is, why are you carrying out that plastic bag? You're carrying it out not because you need the plastic bag over there, but because you don't want your clothes to get dirty. So ha Rabbi Yehuda says that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is chayev. He's the man d'amar who earlier said chayev. And how Rabbi Shimon, the man d'amar who said earlier that such a thing is pater, is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who says that melacha she'ena tzricha legufa is pater. Okay. Let us go weiter. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. Yoitze Adam betfilin be'erev Shabbos im chasheicha. We already saw that you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to carry something out on Erev Shabbos in your pockets or whatever because you might forget. Your tefillin, though, you're allowed to wear on your head because you're not going to forget the fact that you're wearing tefillin. How could a person forget the fact that he's wearing tefillin? Yoytze adam betefillin be'erev Shabbos im chasheicha. My time, what is the reasoning? Because kev on the Amar Rabba bar Rav Huna chayv adam lemashmesh betfilin kol shah v'shah. Since Rabba bar Rav Huna said that a person is required all the time to keep feeling his tefillin to remember that he has them on his head, kavachomer mitzitz, and it's a kavachomer from the tzitz of the kohen gadol who wears the tzitz on his forehead, matzitz where she'ein by ela azkara achas only has one. The tzitz only has one. Mention of Hashem's name. It says Kodesh LaHashem. Nevertheless, the Torah says, "Vay Amra Torah v'haya al mitzchay tamid." It should be on your forehead at all times. And the Gemara learns from there, "Shalo yasiyach dai to be menu." You should never stop thinking about the fact that Hashem's name is on your head. So tefillin sheyesh bahen azkaras harbe, which has many, many names of Hashem, al achas kama v'kama. Certainly, you are required to always keep aware of those tefillin. Hilkach, therefore, midker dokirle, you will recall that it is that there is always tefillin on your head, and therefore you won't come to forget about them on Shabbos. You won't come to carry them out on Shabbos. Tanya, we have a brisa. Hananya Omer, chayv adam lemashmish bebigdei erev Shabbos im chasheicha. A person is required to feel his clothes on erev Shabbos before it gets dark. Amar of Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says, Hilchasa Rabsi l'Shabbos. That is a great halacha for Shabbos. Because as if we didn't have that minhag, people would always forget things in their pocket. And therefore, it's kedai to check your pockets on Erev Shabbos. During Bameh Madlikin, when we say this for the Ashkenazim amongst us, so a lot of people have the taka, the minhag, to go ahead and feel their... people have the minhag to go ahead and feel their pockets to make sure that there's nothing in it. The Gemara says a person should not delice his clothes and he should not read by the lantern. Ibailahu questions the Gemara. A person should not delouse his clothes during the day. Shema Yaharik, perhaps he will kill these lice. v'Rabbi Eliezer. And it is the position of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Eliezer, ha'hira kina b'Shabbos ki lo harikas agamal. If somebody kills a lice on Shabbos, it's as if he killed a camel. So the Gemara wants to know, it says in the Mishnah, you cannot kill a louse, de-louse your clothes on Shabbos. Is the pshat because if you pull off a louse, you might come to squish it and kill it? And what would the problem be? The problem would be that we paskin like Rabbi Lazar, that it's usa to kill a lice on Shabbos. Or maybe we hold like who's the other man d'amar? Maybe we hold like the other man d'amar, that it's mutter to kill a louse on Shabbos. It is permitted. And the reason is because this is one of the pellas of, this is one of the wonders of the Gemara. The Gemara is of the opinion that lice do not generate through regular male and female interaction. They are spontaneously generated. They grow by themselves. And since they do not come from a male and female, they are permitted to be killed on Shabbos. And in fact, this is how we paskin. We paskin that lice are spontaneously generated. Now, there's such a thing as nits, and nits are eggs. Okay, first of all, it could be the eggs are spontaneously generated. That's not a raya. They have proof that there is male and female interaction. It could be, so there's several answers to this amongst the poskim. Some say that based on the fact that medical science says that you cannot, based on the fact that medical science says that lice nowadays do reproduce, male and female, so then it's obviously a different type of louse than was back then. That's one malach. The other malach is to say that no, just because they could produce male and female doesn't mean that they didn't come through spontaneous generation. In other words, a louse can be born that has the ability to spontaneously generate. A spontaneously generated louse can be generated through and with the ability to reproduce afterwards. So the entire species is a non-species that is spontaneously generated. And the ma'isa in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you're allowed to kill them. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Some places nowadays, because of this question, avoid killing them. But it's not simple. Okay, so the ma'isa, so now the question of the Gemara is, this that it says in the Mishnah, when a person is not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos, he's not allowed to de-louse on Shabbos. He's not allowed to pull off a lice. Is that a separate gzera from the very next line in the Mishnah? The very next line in the Mishnah says, don't read a sefer next to a candle. Why? Because we're not used to this, but you might actually adjust the candle to see better. Nowadays, we read in bright rooms. But you might adjust the candle. Therefore, by the way, this is Nogea. Friday night, if the lights are out in your room, some say that it's you can't learn by the light of the candles. Or read the paper by the light of the candles. If you have two people there and they're both, okay, we'll see a different dinim. But why? Because you might come to tilt the candle. Even though others say that nowadays we're so not used to that act of tilting the candle. If you're sitting by a candle and you need more light, what do? You adjust your sefer. I'm adjusting it, trying to see. You won't go ahead and adjust the candle. Therefore, there are those who are makel. There's room for kula, depending on what else you can be mitzdarif there, that to allow one to carry and to read in such a situation. But lemaisa, the Mishnah does say two halachas. Number one, don't delouse, and number two, don't read by the light of the candle. So the question is, are they the same reason? Don't delouse because you might come to look. You might come to tilt the candle to check your clothes. Or is it a separate gezeira? So the Gemara says, do not delouse on Shabbos because you might come to kill them. So it's a gezeira, you might come to kill them, and it's Rabbi Eliezer, it's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hayrei Kina b'Shabbos, if somebody kills a louse on Shabbos, Ki ilu Hayrei Gamal, it's as if he killed a camel, and it's Asudir Aysa. And then there's a second gezeira, v'lo yikari l'arainer, a person shouldn't read a sefer to the light of a candle, Shema Yate, perhaps he will lean it over, Oy Dilma, or questions the Gemara, perhaps, Tarvayu Shemayate. Both of them are perhaps, maybe he will tilt the candle. Toshima, the Gemara says a proof. In Poland, Vain Kirin Lar Haner. One is not allowed to delouse Vain Kirin Lar Haner, and one is not allowed to read by the light of the candle. So the Gemara wants to prove from the fact that it says it right back to back that it's the same Gezeira. And the Gemara says, what type of proof is that? Mia Lima Mimasnisin, is that any stronger than our Mishnah? So the Gemara tries again. Tan Rabbanan in Poilin la'or haner ve'in Karin la'or haner. So Mitzvah Mefurish, one is not allowed to delouse by the light of a candle, and one is not allowed to read by the light of the candle. Both of the gezeiros are because of you might come to tilt the candle, but indeed, if a person would eventually kill him a louse, it would not be us or D'oraisa. In fact, I don't even know if it's the Rabbanan. Eilu min halacha sha'amar ba'aliyas Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garan. These are the halachas that they said in the attic of Chananya ben Chizkiya ben Garan. And we're going to have a lot of them coming up. Shmamina de tarvayu shemayate. Shmamina, we can prove from here that both of these gezeiros are because of the concept of shemayate. Amar b'yuda amar shmul. Afilu lahavchen ben bigdei lebigdei ishtei. Even to determine the difference between one's clothes and one's wife's clothes, it is prohibited from using a candle on Shabbos. Why? Because you might come to tilt the candle for better light. That's only for the people of the city of Mechuzah who have clothes that look like women's clothes and the women's clothes look like men's clothes. It's hard to differentiate between the two. Like, for example, if you can imagine, a girl's school that has, say, button-down shirts for the blouses, button-down blouses for the girls. So you have a son who has button-down shirts. So if you have a blue shirt and a blue shirt, both buttoned down, yes, if the lights are on, you can tell the difference between the girl's shirt and the boy's shirt. But Lamaisa, it does take some discerning. You know, you see it crumbled on the floor, you can't really tell whose is who. So the B'nai Mechuzah used to have the clothes similar between the man and the woman, and therefore that would be prohibited. However, other places which you see a girl's, colorful dress and your suit pants, hopefully you should be able to tell the difference between the two that you may use a candle for. Aval de b'nei Chaklisa, the people of the city of Chaklisa, where there's large differences between the types of clothing, between the genders, it is permitted. Meida yada'i, it's quite known, the differences, and therefore it's permitted. Says the Gemara, Ud b'nei Mechuzah nami, and the people of Mechuzah also, loy amaran ella de zakenus. Only the elder, aval the eldest, the young ones, made the adi. It is also made the adi. It is also quite discernible the differences between the clothes. Tan Rabbanan. By the way, is it going? Is everybody getting the? Is it like the Zoom working and everything? Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Tan Rabbanan. In Poland, Rishus Rabim, one shouldn't delouse in Rishus Rabim because Mipnei covered. Simply because it's not a nice thing to do, to see somebody taking out lice in Rishus Rabim. We're not so used to the sight, but so it might not gross us out. You talk about it, but apparently it's a gross thing. Sometimes we're so not used to it, we think lice is like a horrible thing. Kiyotzabai, similarly, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Nechemiah, Ein Oysen Akab Tvizin B'Rishus Rabbim, B'Pnei HaKavod. A person shouldn't throw up in Rishus Rabbim also, because it is not nice. You see a guy ate too much. Rashi says they used to have a practice of gorging on the food. Nowadays, only bulimics do this. But they gorge on the food, and because they want to eat more, because the food was so good, they vomit up all the food that they ate, and then they want to eat some more. So that vomiting, do us a favor, do it behind closed doors and have the water running as you do it so people don't get grossed out. Tan Rabbanan, Amafala es Kalev. If somebody is delousing his clothes on Shabbos, Moilel v'zoirik. He's allowed to roll the lice in his hands so that the lice, you know, can't crawl back on him. He's not killing them, but he's allowed to roll it and, you know, frighten them and then throw them away. And then throw it away. Ubavad shelo yaharek, as long as you don't kill it. So this Manda Amar holds that albeit it's not, if you do end up killing it, it's not the Araisa, because otherwise he wouldn't let you roll it. But nevertheless, you shouldn't kill it, and therefore don't roll it either. Abishol Amar, no, don't even roll it. Noitel, you could take it off the Zoyrik and throw it away. Ubavad shelo yimlal, so long as you don't roll it. Amar Rav Huna said, no, the halacha is you're allowed to roll it. Moilal v'zoirik, you're allowed to roll it. V'zehu kvaydai, and that is considered a normal thing to do. V'afilu b'chol, even during the week. That's the way to do it during the week. Rava used to say, Mikdalahu used to kill them. Rav Sheshis also killed them, Mikdalahu. Rava shadile l'kana demaya. Rava used to throw it into a bucket of water. And Amalahu Rav Nachman Lebinte, Rav Nachman said to his daughters, Ketulin, kill them. Va'ashmi'ina li kala de sanvase, and let me hear the call of their army. So I'm not sure exactly. Exactly, you know, the call of their army. It means the call of their guardian angels or whatever. That's so. This is the heter to go ahead. This is the heter to go ahead and allow them to be killed. Rashi says the call san vasay. Every time a person coughs, I'm like scared people are going to call the police on me. It was just a cough. It's a, you know, you don't want to cough in public in case somebody thinks like a.
Is there a problem with killing specifically, or is it because of the issue of Shkita that it causes like blood to come out? Like if you can kill it without causing like blood to come out, is that still usur?
I think so. But it is, I think so, because Netilas Neshama. I think.
In terms of shechita, where you take a knife and you cause all the blood to come out,
right?
But
no, because
the animal, would that still be
us? Right. I know that. Yeah. I mean, I have a riot because the Gemara discusses taking fish out of water. The Gemara says later on in the seventh perek that it's usher to take fish out of water because it is netilas neshama. But the Gemara wants to know what the problem is. Let's see if I can remember where that is. L'chayv na'im mishum netilas neshama. V'afil l'Rabbi Yehuda d'Amar Mekalka b'chavar espatar parach shaper. The Gemara wants it. Tzad chilazen. Yeah. There is a... Shailut dug men hayam kevin shiyavish by hach Hashem achilazen darki l'parachis. Yeah. It's the netilas neshama itself is the problem, is a problem.
They say if you could throw the laos, and presumably that would kill it. But
so no. That's the point. It's not killing it when you throw it. You're just getting away from you. The chiddush is that you're allowed to roll it in your hands, not squish it, but you're allowed to roll it. So you're significantly weakening it. Okay. let me just see what else would be the pshat here. Okay. All right, so let's continue on. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Eimer, Ein Harkinesim, Achilis B'Shabbos, one is not allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos, Divrei B'Shamay, Beis Hillel Matirim. Beis Hillel says it is mutter. I'm pretty sure that is the halacha. That it is mutter to kill, at least according to the Shulchan Aruch, it is mutter to kill a louse on Shabbos. Let me just quickly check it up. Yeah, it is permitted to kill. We paskin like Beis Hillel that it is permitted to kill a louse on Shabbos. So you don't even have to go ahead and throw him out. We paskin that it is permitted. Now the question is, like I said, nowadays, are the lice that we have permitted to kill, there are definitely places who say yes, like I said before. There are definitely places who say that it's mutter even nowadays to kill lice. Okay, Tanya. So Beisil Matirin. V'chein hayu Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ein mishad chenes hatinoikus la'aretz. A person should not marry, should not go ahead and do shidduchim on Shabbos. A person should not do shidduchim on Shabbos to get them engaged. In other words, you shouldn't make them engaged. By the way, this is where we get the word shidduch from. We see that the way Chazal call getting married, matching people up, shidduch. The Ramad discusses exactly what the lashon of shidduch is. And lo as a tinik lil melamed sefer, you don't take children to be melamed to school, but lamed umnis to yeshiva or lamed umnis or to work to learn a trade. The ein menachem avelim, we don't go to be menachem aval on Shabbos. The ein mevakrin chilin, you don't go to do bikur chilin on Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai, and in all of them, in case you're wondering that there's a song on Shabbos that says that we do these things. That's because of the next line of Ubeis Hillel Matir. Beis Hillel does say that we mishad chenes atinaikus and you take the kids to school and things like that. So there is a song like that in one of those mirrors. Tan Rabbanan Nichnas the Bakas Achayla. If somebody goes to visit a sick person on Shabbos, Omer Shabbos Himi Lizik Rufur Krayv Alavai, he should say that Shabbos is. It's Shabbos, and the way Rashi explains it is that it's Shabbos, and therefore you should not cry out. Rafua krayv alavei, and the rafua is quick to come. Rabbi Meir used to say a different expression. Yecholah he should tirachim. Shabbos could have mercy. As far as I understand, that's what it means. The Shabbos itself should have mercy. Not sure what that means because Shabbos can't have mercy. If it's not up to Shabbos either way, to heal you. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamakim Yirachem Alecha Va'al Chayil Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda used to say an expression: Hashem should have mercy on you and on the Chayil Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi Omer Hamakim Yirachem Alecha B'Toich Chayil Yisrael. The Makim should have mercy on you B'Toich Chayil Yisrael. Shivna Ish Yerushalayim B'Knisasay Omer, during when he used to go in to visit the person, he used to say Shalom. U'Betzias, and when he used to leave, Omer Shabbos Himilizik Rufu Krev Alava. It is Shabbos and Rufu Krev Alava. V'Racham of Merubin, and he has a lot of Hashem has a lot of mercy. V'Shabbos V'Shivtei B'Shalom, and you should probably dwell in peace. Kamanaz lahadam Rabbi Chanina, according to who does the following statement of Rabbi Chanina accord with, who says, Mishi Eish Techeilah B'Teich Beisai, somebody who has a Chayla in his house, Tzarech Shia Arvenu B'Teich Chayla Yisrael, he should go ahead and when he davens for him, he should include the rest of Chayla Yisrael in him. That's what we say, B'Tzarech Shia Chayla Yisrael in our tefillahs. Kaman, who is it like? It is like the position of Reb Yosi, who used to say, I guess, why is it Rabbi Yosi? One second. Why is this Rabbi Yosi? This could be because.
Because third line, Rabbi Yosi says, Pesach Chole Yisrael.
Oh, okay, excellent. What happened was I was reading Rabbi Yosi and I skipped the next line of Shivna Yerushalayim. I thought that line was his. Okay, thank you very much. Yeshu Kayach. It was difficult, but they were matter to go ahead to be Menachem Aval and to do Bikur Chalim on Shabbos, meaning a person really shouldn't do it. But if that's the only time or whatever, so then, you do it. But it's not a lechatchila thing. When I went after Rabbi Lazar to inquire about a sick person, Zimnin Amar, sometimes he would say, Hamakam yipakedcha l'shalem. Zimnin, sometimes he said to the Schoila, Hashem, Hamakam, again, Hamakam is Hashem, is yipakedcha, he should like remember you, like pekoid pokarati. And v'zimnin Amar Rachmana yad kirencha, Hashem should remember you, l'shalem. Shalem. Okay? Hechi Avidach, he says the Gemara. How is he able to do this? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda lo'ilam al yishal adam tzuracha b'lashan arami. Why is he talking in Aramish? Why is he talking in the language of Arami? Both of those words, Rachmana, Yadkircha, all these were in Aramish. Why? So, in other words, Hamakam yipakedcha l'shalem is in Hebrew. Pakoid is Hebrew, Hamakam is Hebrew, and L'shalem is Hebrew. Rachmana yad kira encha L'shalem, it's the same expression, except it's in Aramish. And the question is, how is he allowed to speak Aramish in a tefillah? V'am Rabbi Yechanan kol ha'shel tzuracha b'lashan Arami, whoever speaks tzuracha, whoever asks for things in Aramish, ein malach ha'sharis nizkakin lei. The malach ha'sharis do not help him out, do not listen to him, and they won't help him out in his tefillahs. They speak out. The Tosis asks a question like, "How could it be that they don't know Lashon Arami? What does that mean that the Malachim don't know Lashon Arami? They know your thoughts." So that's the expression of Tosis. They know your thoughts. I think the answer. What does that mean that they know your thoughts? Tosis means to ask as follows: when you say a word, let's say words are just expressions of what we're thinking. But if I could read your thoughts, are you thinking in English? When you're thirsty, do you think I am thirsty? Let's say you were thirsty and I was able to read thoughts and you only spoke Turkish. Would I be able to understand your thoughts if you only spoke Turkish and I'm able to read thoughts? I think so. Because you don't think in Turkish the words, I am thirsty. The thought is, I am thirsty. It's expressed in the language that you're used to in, I am thirsty. So if I don't know English, I don't know what the words I am thirsty in. But if I know your thoughts, then I don't need to think in the English words, I am thirsty. That's what I think Tesis means. The answer to Tesis's question, other Rishonim speak out, I don't remember who, but the answer is that they do understand. But they were upset that so much chashivas was given to the Lashon of Arami. Therefore, any other language you can talk, but they specifically are anti-Aramish. So if you ask it in Aramish, they don't like that. And they don't help you out if you speak in Aramish. So it's a bit funny. Like, I remember everybody discussing, like, what about Brich Shmei? And what about Yukum Porkan? And, you know, there are certain tefillahs that we say in Aramish. Why do we say specifically those tefillahs?
It occurs to me, I don't know if there's any direct connection, but in three separate books, the issue when Rav Shakei comes and starts talking against Chizkiyahu,
yeah,
when Sanhedrin comes and fights, they have the specific issue that Rav Shakei is speaking in Yehudis, in Hebrew, and they ask him, don't speak that, speak in Aramis, so that they don't understand what you're saying. I don't know if there's a direct connection, but it occurs to me that that's another place where we see someone saying, like, they don't understand Aramis, so there's that kind of connection there.
Right. I hear. You know, it's I hear. I mean,
I have no idea if that's connected to this reasoning at all, but as that's where it occurs to me that we do have a distinction between Aramis and Yehudis.
Right. The very fact that they switched over to Aramis is there's a big raid about that. Like, what's the pshat they switched over? And they did it on purpose. It wasn't pshat like, okay, now we're in Bava. Like, they specifically did not, like, the Gemara is specifically written in Aramis. Okay. Yes, I don't remember exactly which Rishonim say it, but that's the answer of the Rishonim, that it's because they specifically don't like Aramis, and therefore they don't listen to it. Okay, let's go on. So, but Lamaisa, if a person wants to daven in English, which I always suggest to people. It's the best thing. It cultivates your relationship with Hashem. It's a good idea to go ahead and still daven in Hebrew, but add on all your tefillas, anything that's on your mind and heart, you should add on in English. That you should add on to the Shemoneh Esrei. That all should be done in English. And you don't have this problem, especially according to the Rishonim, that explain that specifically that they're against Aramish. Okay? So answers the Gemara, Sha'ini Chayla, sick people are different. You could daven in Aramish by a sick person because the Shechina imay, because the Shechina is with him. Because the Shechina comes down onto sick people. The Amar of Anan, Amar Rav, Minayin Sheshechina Soyed Esa Chayla. How do we know that the Shechina, like, feeds, nourishes a Chayla? Shenemar Hashem Yisardenu Al Eres Devoy. Hashem is, like, nourishing there on the bed of a sick person. Tiny Namiyach, we have a price like this as well. A person shouldn't sit. A person shouldn't sit on the bed or in a chair. He should wrap himself up in a talus and sit there. Because the Shechina is on top of the heads of a chayla. How do you know that Hashem, again, feeds a chayla? So we see that the reason why he was able to speak in Aramish was specifically this tefillah, because Hashem was right there. Okay, it's also an important thing to know. Usually this is not going to help a sick person, but there are stories about this where, somebody goes specifically to a sick person because he says he wants to daven and whatnot, and all comes from this Gemara. And it is a nice thing to tell a sick person, although usually a sick person will not be nisnachim al yidei that. You know, you tell a sick person, like, hey, stop watching so much Netflix. Hashem is right here. So, sometimes they don't appreciate it. You always have to know how you how you give over your messages. But a person who would appreciate it is a good gemara to tell a sick person that Hashem is here on the top of the bed. I do remember there's some Chassidish Rebbe story about how he used to go to sick people specifically to daven because of this Gemara, but I don't remember the exact Nekudas and who it was. Okay, V'lo yikar l'or haner, Amar Rabba, afilu gevaya shtei kaimer. A person is not allowed to read by the light of a candle, says Rabba, even if it is inaccessible to him, even if it's very high, afilu shtei kaimer, even if it's two stories up, afilu shtei mardois, even if it is even way high, it is the height of two mardois. They used to have sticks on top of the plows on the back of a shor. So even if it is that high, and again it's just an expression that even if it's so far away, even if it's 10 stories high, kitzer, even if it's not physically accessible, it's still prohibited to read from the light of a candle. So the Gemara says, Chadhu deloy likri. One person cannot read. Hatre shapir dami. But two people are able to read. Because if you start to go ahead and tip the candle, I'm going to remind you. And if I start to tip the candle, you're going to remind me. I have a hatanya loy echad v'lishnaim. We have a braisa which says, not one person or two people. Amar Rabbi Lazar loy kasha kan b'inyan echad, kan b'shnei inyanim. It depends. If it's one parsha, if you're reading the same book, you're both reading the same book, you and your wife, you're on the couch and you're reading the same book, you're peering over her shoulder, whatever. So then you're allowed to. Because if she forgets and starts to tip, you'll remind her. If you forget and start to tip, she'll remind you. But if you're both reading at two ends of the couch and she's involved in her book, you're involved in your book, if she starts to tip the candle, you're not going to notice until it's tipped already. And then you're like, what happened to all the light? If it's a Madura, then afilu asar b'nei adam is asar. Madura, if it's a larger fire, even 10 people, it is prohibited. Amar, because you're all sitting too far away from each other.
How are you going to tilt the bonfire, Rabbi?
What?
How do you tilt the bonfire?
That's a good question. I guess maybe you can kick it to spark it, to flame it back up, maybe.
Well, a bonfire can just be like a torch, right? It's like a Havdalah candle. It's just defined as multiple wicks, isn't it?
In this case, it just means anything that you'd be sitting, since there's so much light, you're not sitting next to each other, then, but I don't chop exactly how you're reading the same book if you're not sitting next to each other anyways. So, I don't know, does anybody have any, that's my first question. If you don't, if you're sitting next, if you're not sitting next to each other, anyways, it's usher. All right, I don't know. But as for your question of how do you tilt the bonfire, you're right. Maybe it means to jab it, you know, to stoke it, maybe it means. And maybe Michael could be right also. Maybe it's a bigger, it's just a bigger torch. I don't know. Okay. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, im adam chashav hu. If he's an adam chashav, it is mutter. It is permitted to read by the light of the candle. Now, here's what I was telling you before, that nowadays, some people say that it's mutter to read by the light of the candle, because if it's an adam chashav, it's permitted. The reason is, Rashi says, is because he's an adam chashav, he's not used to tipping his own candle. He has a butler there that does it for him and whatnot. So he's an adam chashav, he's not used to it, so therefore he's not going to come to do it. So nowadays, when we don't read by the light of the candle, and like I said, if push comes to shove and you do have to read by the light of the candle, and you need more light, we're so not used to tipping a candle, we won't even do that. We'll go ahead and like move our safer closer, like, you know, we won't have the, like, it's not the first thing you think about, like, oh, why don't I move the candle? It's not, just not something we think about. So therefore, I would say that when push comes to shove, it might be mutter nowadays to read by the light of the candle, because assuming you don't do it on a regular basis, like if a person, you know, has a summer home or whatever that doesn't have light or something, whatever, and he does it every night, then not, because eventually you'll get used to it. But if it's a one-time thing, you know, the electricity is out in your house for whatever reason, and the Shabbos candles are still going, and you're so not used to it, you could probably have a heter to read by the light of the candle because of this clause over here, that he was an adam chashav, it's mutter. Reason is because he's so not used to doing it. We're also so not used to doing it. Meisei says the Gemara lo yikar lo araner shemayate. Am Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha ani akarei veloyata. And Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, I will read and I will not lean it and I will not cause it to tip it over. Pam achas kara bikish lahatos. One time I was reading and I wanted to tip it over. And Omar, and I said, look, kama gedolim divrei chachamim. Look how great the words of the chachamim are. Shahayu emrim lo yikar lo araner, because they said you should not read for the light of the candle. And Rabbi Nassan actually says over the story as follows. Amar kara behita. He actually did lean, he actually did tip it over. V'kasa el pinkasai, and he wrote on his little notebook there, Ani, I, Yishmol ben Elisha, Karisi, I was learning on Shabbos, v'hatisi ner b'Shabbos, and I tilted the ner on Shabbos, because I was so absorbed in my learning. So, l'kish yibana beis hamikdash, when eventually the beis hamikdash will be built, ovi chatas shemena, I will have to bring a korban chatas. By the way,
would that actually be chayav en chatas, or would that still be counted as ones?
Excellent. I was about to say, we see from here that somebody who does something knowing what he's doing, but it's an absent-minded action. For example, he goes to the bathroom in the morning and he turns on the light. So it's more absent-minded than anything else. Or he is in the middle of the night, he goes to the bathroom and he rips some toilet paper, assuming that could be a deraisa. So those are deraisas. Even though you did it in your sleep, now obviously if you're really sleepwalking, they're not, but you did it groggy, and you did it just forgetting it was Shabbos, and also it was a habit. When you leave a room, you shut the light. That it was just a habit. You weren't thinking. It's just something that you did. That's not called misasik. Misasik is only if your hands brushed against it and you had no intention to do it. But here, you did have intention to do it. That was an intended action. It was just an absent-minded intended action. Afal pikein, that's exactly what I was going to point out. That's considered a shoygeg. And one is chayav for such a case. Amar Rab Abba Shaini Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Hoylu Meisim Atzmei Divrei Torah Kehedyot. The Gemara says that the Gemara said that Adam Chashav doesn't have a problem. I, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, said he do have a problem. The Gemara says, yeah, that's because Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, when he used to learn, he used to treat himself like a regular person. So he leaned over his own neiros. He used to do these things. You're right, he was a major gadol. But the way he learned was he sat in the back bench and he used his own candle. He didn't let people serve him, so because of that, he was used to tilting neiros. But if you have a guy who's not used to tilting neiros, he's not going to do it absent-mindedly. Like I said, if you're deeply absorbed in a book, a sefer, a newspaper on Shabbos, and you need more light, our mahalach would not be to tilt the light. We wouldn't even think of that. So therefore, I'm pretty sure that it's mutter nowadays. Tanich Ada, One Maisha says, Shamish Boidik Kaisis the Ka'aris Lahner. A waiter can go ahead and inspect cups and plates to the light of a candle. V'tani idach lo yivdek. And another Bryce says you're not allowed to. So what's the din? Is a shamish, is a waiter allowed to inspect the cups and the plates before Shabbos or not? The Gemara says, Lekasha, kan b'shamish kavua. Kan b'shamish she'ein kavua. A shamish kavua is not able to check the cups. Because the shamish kavua, the one who's always serving there, he's scared of his master. So what happens? He's inspecting any lipstick, and he's checking the knives. A lot of times, whenever I have like company, a lot of times I go around inspecting the knives to make sure that they're all clean, and the cups to make sure they're all clean. Sometimes, you know, it dries in the dishwasher, not perfect. And you get the cup, you get the knife, and it looks like it's the third day of a meal with the knife. And it looks gross. So you always want to make sure that the knives are clean and the cups clean. So if a shamish is inspecting it, so if he's a shamish kavua, if he's the waiter who's the kavua there, so he's scared. He doesn't want to lose his job and whatever. So therefore, he's not allowed to do it. But a shamish ain't a kavua. He's there as a one-day thing. He doesn't really care. I set the table. You're going to tell me one of the knives was dirty? I'm sorry. He doesn't really care. So therefore, he is allowed to inspect it because he's going to do a very cursory inspection anyways. He's not going to be makbid. Alternatively, I will tell you that both Bryces are talking about a shamash that is kavua, v'loy kasha, and there's still no kasha. It depends on the type of material that is burning in the candle. If it's oil, or if it is the nafta. If it's oil, or if it is neft, which is kerosene. So if it is kerosene, then it is mutter. Because it is mutter to it stinks, and therefore hold on 1 second. Either or. So but the nafta it is kerosene, and therefore it stinks. And therefore, you're not going to come to block it out, to tip it. Okay. Ibailuhu. Ha, Ibailuhu, shamish, she'ena kavua, b'damashcha mai. What happens if you have a shamish she'ena kavua? Sorry, a shamish she'ena kavua, which is the waiter who is not kavua. So we have the lenient ruling over there with the oil ruling over here. But the mashcha mai, what's the din? Mahu. Amar Rav, halacha v'ein marinkin. It's mutter, but don't tell people about it. Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba, amar halacha v'marinkin. No, it's mutter, and you can even tell people about it. Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba, ikloi l'bei Rav Asi. Rabbi Yirmi bar Abba visited Rav Asi, and kam sham ei, and kabadak l'nohayra, the sharka. The shamish got up and started to check by the light of the candle. Amr Leh Debisu, his wife told him, Umar Lo Avinach, you don't do this. How come you're letting him do it? Amr Leh Shavke, leave him be. Karabe is fairly. He holds like his Rebbe. You're right, there's a machlokes in this. I hold not. His Rebbe holds here. Be'emes Amru HaChazen. In truth, they said that a Chazen is allowed to read. So let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah on, where was it? Yud Aleph Amr Aleph. They said that a Chazen is able to go ahead. And, sorry, where was this Mishnah? The Chazan is able to go ahead, yeah, Yod Aleph and Aleph at the bottom, a Chazan is able to go ahead and see where the kids, in other words, his charges, are holding. So he is allowed to read by the light of the Nair. But he himself, Avalhu lo yikare, but he himself cannot read. So says the Gemara of Ahamet Reisha, Roya, a Shamish is allowed to read. My love, Likris, does that not mean that he's allowed to read with them? And the Gemara says, no. What's permitted for him to do is l'sader roshei parshi Yosef. It is permitted for him to go ahead and figure out where it's permitted for him to go ahead and figure out where it is mutter to it's permitted for him to figure out where it is to figure out where the kids are holding. But not to actually read. So in other words, I could go ahead and read the headlines of the newspaper. I'm saying, oh, you can read that one, read that one, read that one, and etc. But you can't read the, you know, the fine print. You're allowed to be Masadar, the Rashi Parashah Yosef. Says the Gemara, Vakula Parashah Loi, but the entire Parashah, you're not allowed to. May's face says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer HaTinaika Shel Beis Rabban, Hayu Masadar Parashah Yosef, the Tinaika, so the kids, they would be Masadar the Parashah Yosef, Bekairin La Oraner, and they would be able to read from the light of the candle. So we see that the kids are able to read. It says even the kids are allowed to read from the light of the candle. Says the Gemara, Ibayis Ema alternative. Either I'll tell you that the Rosh Parashah, so if the kids are also only reading, you know, the headlines, they're saying, you know, they're starting to read the beginning parts of it. Ibayis Ema, I'll tell you, Shiny Tinaikas, the kids are different. If the Rebbe is there, then the kids will not go ahead and tilt the lamp in the middle of the lesson. However, Amos Rabbanalan, since the fear of the Rebbe is on them, Loy Asila Atsluye, they would not come to tilt the lanterns. So that is the that is that. Okay, so we have, that is the daf for the day. This way, we're able to, you know, we can stay on a drop if we ever have, we won't have anybody shooting us down with the brachas. So we have that mila. So we are going to be, we'll stop over here for today, and we will, Mirtz Hashem, pick up tomorrow. Ki yoytzeboy gimel aleph, all right? Okay, hatzlocha, agutni rabbi Yisai. Everybody should daven stark. There's a lot of long shmoneh esrays. We have to make up for a lot of klal Yisrael here. All right, again.
Everybody stay healthy, thank you.
Right, and stay healthy, that is true as well. Again. Reb Reuven.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people were on the phone?
I heard two other dings.
Because we didn't have Hollander or Baron. I'm wondering if they were on the phone.
They could have been. I didn't hear them announcing their names. I heard two other dings, but I can see on the Zoom, I can see everybody, everybody can see everybody else who's on the Zoom.
Uh-huh.
So you swipe left to right, and so can you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we had like nine people on Zoom, I think, or eight people maybe. I think it was eight people.
Sounds right.
Okay.
And there were two or three others on the
Okay, Zoom. So maybe we had a full crowd today. Okay, great. All right.
Where are you now, Rebbe?
I am in my shul, because I need the internet.
Ah,
I did not get, but I'm treating it as my house. So, anyways, all right. I was going to get internet for HTC, but then I'm like, absolutely not. I'm not even, no, I'm sorry, we're not doing it. But then I was like, I have my shul, I'll just use my shul. Anyways, all right, fine. I got in.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see.